Hello everyone, and happy Monday. I feel like I need to start out this week's episode with both an apology and a caveat here, and that I'm sorry if the audio is not as good as it usually is this week. I was having some issues with my soundboard like 5 minutes before I was about to call in our guest this week, and I didn't have enough time to troubleshoot it before we started recording. So I ended up using the first microphone I got for the podcast way back in the early days. So I guess we're taking it back to its roots in a way today. I'm sure you guys have all seen all the rap beef going on right now, and over the past few years with the Big Three and everyone else getting involved. And just in case you live under a rock and haven't heard what's going on in the rap world, well, prepare to be enlightened today. Welcome back to Keeping It Real with Kennedy. Okay, so we're bringing on one of my old friends to the podcast to help us trace the whole idea of rap beef from its roots all the way up to the present day today. Here to present us with all its layers, please welcome my good friend, Jalen Goldsmith. Welcome to the podcast, Jalen.
How you doing?
Why don't you introduce yourself for the people? Let them know why you're here.
The people. My name is Jalen Goldsmith. I have known Kennedy Williams for a long time. Go back over to 8th grade. But I'm here because I've kept up with Kennedy. Now it's time to keep it real. I'm from the Federal Way, Washington area, and I'm here to talk about rap beef today.
All right, sweet. I personally know that there's a lot of beef with a lot of the big names, you know, like Drake, Kendrick Lamar. They all get thrown out there, and then their songs keep addressing each other, and then one guy calls out one guy, and then it's like the next guy's turn to respond to what he said in a new song. That's pretty much like all that I know. I just know it's like kind of going on. So could you explain that better for us? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, before I get in, I guess, to the weeds or anything, I'll just kind of give more of a general overview of why hip-hop, or I should say rap specifically, is the way it is. Because I don't believe we see this type of competition or battling in really any other genre. You know, I don't remember Kenny G, you know, laying a saxophone diss track or anything.
Right.
These are things that I believe make hip-hop or rap one of the most interesting, if not the most affluent music genres, you know, on earth. So just to kind of take it all the way back to where rap started, it's kind of bubbled out of New York in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. They believe hip-hop started August 11th, 1973 at 1520 Sedgwick Avenue in the Bronx under a DJ named DJ Kool Herc. And originally hip-hop just started as a DJ would take a record and kind of cut it up a certain way that hadn't been heard before, that allowed people to dance, or I should say, you know, break dance, because they would dance to the break beat of the song, how the DJ would cut it up. And then you kind of had people who would also be at these parties who would maybe be from rival gangs in the area, and they would, you know, spray paint their logo or spray paint the gang sign. Then you also had people who were the MCs or the masters of ceremonies, and they would get on a mic, and originally it kind of just started, they would just kind of call people out and, you know, say you left your lights on.
Yeah.
As things in New York at the time maybe got worse, you know, economically, maybe with the poverty, there was a lot of gangs and a lot of violence, and the community kind of used music to escape that. So instead of trying to fight and possibly kill one another, people said, let's just use music. So this is where you kind of get the idea of battle rap. So rap has been competitive, you know, and nobody wants to be the person that, you know, gets a laugh out of the room. And so, you know, people who come to battle, you know, are really well versed in what they're gonna say and how they're gonna say it in the big moment where they want everyone to laugh or scream or yell. And so from the origins of hip-hop, it's, you know, been competitive. It's also been very territorial. I mean, obviously nowadays, you know, if you're from New York, you really rep New York or the East Coast. But even when hip-hop started, you were from the South Bronx or Queensbridge or Harlem or Staten Island, you know, the five boroughs of New York. So there was a lot of culture within the one city. So now how we see, whether it's Kendrick Lamar from Compton or L.A. or J. Cole from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Drake from Toronto, Canada, and Future from Atlanta, Kanye, Chicago. We see it more on a national scale, maybe a global scale, because these artists aren't just, you know, on the corner of the street. Artists are at the Super Bowl. Nowadays, there's a lot more money behind it, and things seem a lot more calculated. And so one of the biggest things that we've seen, I would just say not recently, but over the past couple of years, is there hasn't been a whole lot of direct shots, I would say, not like there is now.
Mm-hmm.
More so in the past decade, I would say it's been what's called sneak dissing. So people might not call out someone's name, but they might allude to their hometown, or they might allude to a song they wrote, or they might allude to an album that they wrote, or to just something about their personality.
Yeah.
You know, make a joke off it, make a quick insult off it. So it might perk up in someone's ears and say, are they talking about me? Are they talking about him? Are they talking about my city? Are they talking about my label? Are they talking about one of my friends? Back to what I was saying about hip-hop being competitive, hip-hop uses a lot of sports analogies, whether that be Tom Brady in football, or Barry Sanders in football, or Kobe Bryant, or LeBron James, or Michael Jordan, or Muhammad Ali in boxing, or something like that. The sport is kind of competitive. And what's interesting about music is the younger you are, the older your music, you know, over time. But, you know, the older you are, you just put out a song or a mixtape or an album, like the younger the album is. So it's like, it's kind of the opposite with sports, how Michael Jordan at 24 years old still hadn't won a championship. Over time, kind of gets better, starts winning more and more championships, more and more rings. But, you know, every time he plays, you can see his age. With, you know, hip hop and with rap, you know, typically a good rapper over time will get more concise, get deeper, get faster, get more and more calculated with their raps. So it's almost like they're getting better as they go on, versus how someone who's 40 years old playing in the NFL might have lost a step. That's kind of also what is, I guess, one of the plus sides of music. I mean, I even remember being like in high school, and like the first time in my freshman year, or I should say our freshman year, one of the seniors on the high school football team handed me an illegally downloaded disc of the Take Care album. I don't know where it is now, but I had that for years. I believe it was a guy named John, or maybe Josh. He handed me the CD. He was like, don't tell anybody I gave the CD.
Tell no one.
Like, the police were going to get him for downloading it off like SoundCloud MP3 or LimeWire or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was just like, you know, the way music moved. I feel like our class or our generation was kind of the last to like burn CDs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had to make tapes, but you know, burn CDs was like a popular thing still. And I just remember we appreciated music because we're like, man, if I'm gonna actually burn this CD, every song better be good.
Yeah, you got work for it.
And nowadays, it's like with streaming, all music is like $10.
Yeah.
You play a song, you don't like it in 20 seconds, next.
Next.
If someone takes the time to burn you a CD, like, even if some of the songs are bad, you're like, no, some of these are going to be good because someone took the time to actually download this. And it wasn't quick. You know, it took maybe like half an hour, 45 minutes for all the songs.
Yeah, you'd have to sit there forever.
For real. But about the beef now, people will say it started with Kendrick Lamar getting on a song called Like That, that Future put out. But really, this beef really kind of started maybe even 10 or 12 years ago with just different sneak disses between Drake and Kendrick Lamar after Big Sean put out a song called Control, where Kendrick Lamar had a verse on there where he pretty much called out everybody in his rap class. We'll get into rap classes a little bit later, but typically, you know, the big three right now between Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick are kind of where the beef has stayed for the most part. People don't usually call out, you know, like Snoop Dogg. He's like 55, you know?
Dude, Snoop Dogg is just vibing. He'll just come appear if he wants to.
Yeah, and so I guess that's another thing with hip-hop and even beef. It is territorial, but it's also generational as well, because even other rappers like Jay-Z had to go against the rappers of his day, and you know, Kanye West had to go against the rappers of his day. Kanye West is a little bit of an outlier because he's trying to insert himself into this present beef. I guess he can do what he wants, but yeah. People weren't necessarily looking for him to jump in.
Right. He's just like, hey, I'm here, I want in on the beef.
I'm here, I'm the best. No one can mess with me.
Yeah,
essentially how I guess things have been working. One of the most powerful lines when it comes to rap beef and I guess setting things off is a line that Jay-Z said back on one of his albums. He said, it's funny how one verse can F up the game. Just one verse, one line from a song. And that's true.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar did it with Control. Once that song went out, I remember it went out on like YouTube and SoundCloud. Couldn't even find it on iTunes, which was kind of cool back then.
Yeah.
I mean, when that happened, a lot of other rappers responded to. It made people put out music. And as a music fan, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard fan, love Frank Ocean, but he hasn't put out an album in 5 years. You know, I wish somebody would diss him.
Just get him fired up. Get him back in the studio.
Yes. And so the best thing about, you know, rap beef is that it makes people competitive. You hear music, you hear where everybody's at, and you hear, you know, essentially it's like the playoffs. It's like the playoffs for music. You know, you got to go out and hopefully win your series so you can move on to the next round. The one, I guess, caveat that people do have, I guess, in the back of their minds always with rap beef is that, again, you know, from the origins of hip-hop, it kind of came out of a place of poverty and violence. And so even from, say, like the 90s, whether it be like someone like Biggie Smalls or Tupac, or even, you know, I could go back to someone like Jam Master Jay, or someone like Ill Will that Nas talks about, there's always kind of violence that has always been an underlier of hip-hop. And so when there are these types of rap beef, people are always cautious. And that's fair. However, nowadays, or in present day, people aren't necessarily worried about that because hip-hop is so much more, you know, I guess, on a global stage, and it's not happening in, like, back alleys, it's not happening in parks, it's happening on, you know, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think people are as worried that it's going to get violent, but there's always that underlier there, and rap has always been quick to take things extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And so, kind of, I guess, going forward where we are currently, from Kendrick's Like That verse, people said he kind of started off the beef. If you're really a hip-hop fan, you'll know that he is actually kind of responding in that song, not setting something off. Drake had an album come out called For All the Dogs, and he had a song on there with J. Cole called First Person Shooter. And if you really dissect the lyrics, you'll kind of hear some things, if you were Kendrick Lamar, that might not sit right with you. And so I believe that's why Kendrick Lamar got on a track and came at both of them.
Yeah.
You know, Kendrick Lamar had an album called Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. J. Cole had a line where he's talking about people who are steppers and said, I can clean off my plate. Yeah. So the one thing that is interesting with all hip-hop beefs is that it kind of puts you in the driver's seat of the artist, because if you're just listening to a song as a fan, there's some things you might miss, you know? And so that's where you kind of get into the, I guess, personality of the artist. And that's why I think so many people might be attracted to, like, a Kanye West type figure who has supreme confidence in himself to do anything.
Right.
Even though people might call him crazy or whatever, people kind of want that, you know? Or
right.
Someone like a Drake who seems, like, super smooth in any situation. People want to have that type of energy or atmosphere around them. And that's also why when someone gets dissed or insulted, people also take it personally.
Yeah.
Because it's not only the artists that are offended, but also their fan base.
Yeah.
You can say this, I guess, about any music group, because if you say something wrong about Beyonce, then the Beehive is on you.
Yeah.
If you say something wrong about Taylor Swift, then the Swifties are on you.
Oh, yeah. Those Swifties come in full force these days.
If you say something wrong about Nicki Minaj, then all the Barbs are on you. It's very interesting. And typically, nowadays, I would say there usually is a good separator between maybe a Beyonce fan and, like, a Taylor Swift fan. But in hip-hop, the general or the normal Kendrick Lamar fan would typically be a fan of J. Cole and also probably a fan of Drake as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not all at the same time, but there's definitely certain albums that they like or certain songs that they like. So that's why it is a little tough, because we all like these people, but they don't like each other.
Yeah.
So we just kind of have to wait and see how the battle plays out. And what we've been seeing, you know, more recently is people's response to Kendrick Lamar's verse on the song Like That. And now we have a response record from Drake called Push Ups.
That one just came out, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
And people said Drake kind of got him back pretty good, and he did. That kind of keeps things going. And that's also kind of one of the caveats of rap, too. If someone responds to a diss track, it has to be good or better, or else the other person wins. You have to keep putting out good quality content for the beef to keep going.
Yeah. Or else you're just gonna take the L and that's it.
Yeah. If you miss the shot, then you lose the game. That is also very interesting, the way the artists have been interplaying themselves into kind of this beef, because what everyone wants to see, or true hip-hop fans, what they want to see is Kendrick Lamar and Drake. But we have Kanye West trying to enter. J. Cole was in the way for a little bit. Rick Ross is trying to enter. And that's just kind of, I guess, the way things work. Sometimes you want to see a prize fight between two really big boxers, but they might have to fight someone else, especially if they're like coming out of retirement, you know, maybe a tune-up fight or something along those lines. We want the main event.
Yeah.
The one thing that is, I guess, a little problematic right now is that in the past, rap beefs have never had to deal with AI.
Oh.
Some of these AIs aren't bad.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You hear like, oh, a new response, and you're like, oh man, this is pretty good. And you find out that it's some guy living in Kansas with nothing else to do.
Yeah, just messing around with AI.
And so now the rules, I guess, of rap beef are more so like, if it's coming from you, put it out on, you know, Apple Music or Spotify so we know it's you. The good old days of putting it on YouTube or SoundCloud are kind of ending because we can't verify it. And that's something that, you know, Jay-Z didn't have to deal with, or Tupac didn't have to deal with, or T.I. and Lil Wayne didn't have to deal with someone else trying to rap for them. So that has been kind of taken a little bit of the fun out of hip-hop beefs. But regardless, you know, whenever Kendrick Lamar responds to Drake officially, people are going to listen.
Yeah.
Because usually in a rap beef, people will build things up specifically to try and tear people down. Like when Jay-Z and Nas had rap beef back and forth, Nas used Jay-Z's lips to insult him. Jay-Z used Nas' lack of dropping albums to insult him. It's like, you're a rapper, you hardly drop music, you know?
Right.
You tend to see the angles people come at people with, and they usually will build them up over time. And so a good artist will have maybe a couple years or a couple verses or a couple lines of just maybe stuff that's been filtered in or dropped in. So when it comes to drop that bomb on them, they have all the facts behind them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's going to be really interesting because in a world like today with like social media, someone like Drake has a lot of, I would just say, meme content on the web. Someone like Kendrick Lamar, who doesn't really seem to be on social media hardly at all. So like whenever he does pop out with an album or a music video or a post, everything seems really, really official.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with maybe like a Kanye and a Jay-Z. You hardly ever see Jay-Z unless he's doing a sit-down interview with like Oprah or, you know, something that's very business savvy. Whereas, you know, Kanye might be on a podcast for someone that he might be friends with. It might be Joe Rogan, or it might be him going off on Twitter for 100 tweets in 5 minutes.
yep, we've seen that.
And so there's a lot to use in rap beef. It's just all how you kind of calculate it, because a typical fan has stuff that they want to hear, but we also would like to be surprised. A lot of things kind of play into the difference between maybe a really good verse that someone's written, something that has like a lot of zingers in there, stuff that like stands out.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want it to match the beat that you use too.
Yeah.
There's that as well. It kind of makes you have to be, you know, I guess, dual-minded to pick, you know, the best beat and to match it with the best lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But all those things that kind of go into a beef, the rules for this one haven't really been set. And I'll give you an example, because when 50 Cent and Kanye West had their rap beef, the rules were they were going to drop their albums on the same day. Kanye was going to drop Graduation and 50 Cent was going to drop an album called Curtis. The rules were whoever sells more albums, the other person has to stop making music.
Yeah.
So that there could be high stakes for things like that. For the rap beef between, I guess, Kendrick and Drake, there hasn't really been rules or goals set yet. People are just kind of dissing each other.
Right. Like that one was a little more cut and dry.
But... Oh, yeah. Very, very cut and dry. Now, obviously, things like that are definitely interesting. But at the same time, the rules that are set can also be really, really drastic, because people still want to hear 50 Cent rap and make music. You know, people are still going to want to hear Kanye West produce and rap and sing and all that stuff. But usually things get built up over time, and usually the anticipation of a beef has more speculation and more hype than the actual record sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's true, because a lot of times we live in anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
If there's like a movie coming out, like I remember when Avengers Endgame was like coming out, people were talking about it nonstop because they wanted to know how Thanos was going to get taken out and all that stuff with the snap. The anticipation of that was really what we lived in. The movie was only, what, like 3 hours? And the marketing and promotion was like 4 months. You know, rarely sometimes, you know, you get a rap beef where both artists are going to match the anticipation with all the songs that they have or all the songs that they're going to put out. Typically, you know, it's like a couple lines. Typically, it might be the beat that's really, really, really good, and maybe the lyrics don't match. But, you know, for a beef like this where you have two artists like a Drake and Kendrick Lamar, there's very, very, very high expectations, because they usually deliver. It will be interesting to see kind of how things play out with how they are coming at each other. Kendrick has kind of taken on the role of being Prince. Mm-hmm. Drake has kind of taken on the role of being Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
The benefit of that is you get to kind of boast in the same accolades as those people, but you also have to take on the same faults as those people or the same criticism. You know, Drake is kind of always out and about in the media. Same with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson has a lot of lawsuits, a lot of legal action. Prince doesn't. Prince played pretty much every single instrument. Prince could go back and forth with Michael Jackson. Prince also had a Super Bowl performance just like Michael Jackson. He made it rain while he did Purple Rain. You know, he's kind of mystic, or there's like a magic or a presence about Prince. So all those things, you know, Kendrick Lamar can play into. But it just kind of seems like with this rap beef, there's more for Kendrick to poke Drake for versus Drake being able to poke Kendrick for.
Right. Do you think Kendrick could end it with his response, or do you think it's going to keep going?
Well, that's the thing. We haven't really seen Kendrick Lamar in quote-unquote war mode, where he's had to really annihilate a rapper. However, we have seen Drake in rap beef before, whether it be with a Meek Mill or Common or Pusha T, and he's 2 for 3. But in terms of, you know, ending it all, I believe Kendrick can. And apparently there's been rumors going around because, you know, labels kind of have leaks and that people talk, you know, once they get something. Apparently Kendrick has a record that's up there that could get the job done.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll see.
Again, we will see. But then again, I always wait until it's out, you know.
Yeah.
I've killed myself waiting for an album, waiting for a movie to come out, or waiting for the concert tour to be announced. So it's better to just, like, wait, relax. Usually artists drop music on Fridays. Kind of wait till then, wait around. People don't usually drop diss tracks on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know? It also kind of goes for the vibe you want. If it's more sinister and dark, you know, you might want to drop it maybe at one of those times. But if it's also, like, a song that you might want to play in the club, then you might want to, you know, maybe drop it earlier in the week so people can learn the words and expect the DJ to play it so they can, you know, yell it out. You know, all those, you know, one-liners that people will have against others.
Mm-hmm.
So that all kind of goes into the game. I do think it's interesting because, you know, when the song Like That dropped, where Kendrick kind of laid out the response verse, that song went number one like the first week.
Yeah.
You know, Beyonce had dropped her Cowboy album. Kanye had an album out, but it got rid of all those. The diss against J. Cole, the diss against Drake went number one. People are very invested in this beef, and every time someone drops a diss track that doesn't match up to the standards of that song, the Like That song sounds that much better.
You know? Yeah.
So that's just, I guess, one of the benefits of music. So it'll be really interesting to see how the responses play out. Back to the beef between, you know, Drake and Kendrick Lamar, primarily what we're seeing is the differences again between, you know, Michael Jackson and Prince and kind of how they've set themselves up to both be superstars in pretty much the same genre at the same time, but they both excel kind of at two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Prince was definitely more strategic with his instruments and how he put things together, how he strung things together, and Michael Jackson was really all about the show. No one could entertain like he could. Even his music videos were like short movies, you know. I remember the first time I saw Thriller, I was like, whoa. And that came out in like 82 or 83. So, yeah, I mean, how Drake and Kendrick Lamar are playing this, it should be interesting to see if they're really going to embody those two. We're definitely going to see, I think, some fireworks. Because at least with the two of them, they've worked together in the past on some songs. I think it was like their first albums. Drake was on Poetic Justice and Kendrick Lamar had a verse on Take Care, the Buried Alive interlude. But even with Michael Jackson and Prince, word on the street was that Prince was supposed to be on Michael Jackson's song Bad, but apparently he heard the first line and turned it off.
Oh no.
Apparently when Michael Jackson said, "Yo, Bud is mine," Prince said no. I don't know if that was just the competitive nature of Prince or I don't know what kind of turned him off to it, but we do kind of see a little bit of the pettiness in artists there, and also the spirit of competition, because that's something that we all want. You know, we all want one side to beat the other side. We all want the underdog, or who we think is the underdog, to rise up and conquer. But when it comes to, I guess, rap beef now, the main thing is trying to find exactly what the artists are saying, exactly what they're doing, try to eliminate AI as much as we can, and just get ready for the main event. All this leading up to the stars, looking like it's going to be fun. Yeah. You know, I guess people might be trying to rush a response record, but when it comes to an artist, you know, they're not athletes, so it's not like whenever, like, the season comes up, they have to play. Whenever they're ready to drop a record, they'll drop it, and then I guess we'll go from there. But that's essentially, I guess, it from where we're at in terms of this beef, but I am excited to see kind of where it goes and maybe who else jumps in.
Yeah, me too. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is I'm definitely Team Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? Gotta support the American rapper.
Yep, gotta support.
I'm always interested in what anybody has to say. But the way Kendrick Lamar has moved over these past couple years has left me thinking nothing short of he is a trained, hired assassin to take out anybody in his way. And now is his moment. Now is his moment to prove that. He's annihilated tracks before. He's raised competition before. He's changed the whole game with just dropping one verse or one line. So now's his moment to really show he's the Thanos of music and just snap on any track that he wants to. So, yeah, with that said, as a hip-hop fan, I'm satisfied. Satisfied watching this.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for all that, and thanks for coming on the podcast. It was great having you.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Kennedy.
Okay, well, it looks like that's all for this week. And again, I'm sorry about the poor quality of the audio this week and that random clicking that kept happening. I'm working on it and we'll be troubleshooting this week. So hopefully next week we're back to normal. And with that, we'll see you next Monday.